Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. The message I have this morning, I've entitled, Some Trust in Horses and Some Trust in Chariots. That comes from Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Another passage just like it is in Isaiah 31:3. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. So it's our human nature to trust in things that are strong, that are mighty, things we can see. You know, you can't see God. It's our human nature to look to something else or someone else to put our trust in besides God. But it matters to God that we put our trust in Him. But why does it matter? Why does it matter to God? Why does He care? Well, why does it matter that we believe the truth? Should we be satisfied if someone we love believes lies? Don't we want to set them straight? Don't we want them to know the truth? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lies don't make us free. So, no less God wants to set us straight if we're believing lies, if we're trusting in someone other than Him, because He alone is mighty. He alone is trustworthy. He alone cares about us like no one can. And so, it's good for us to put our trust in the Lord. He is faithful. A probing question we can ask ourselves about this subject is, who do we ask counsel of first? Do we take our petitions to God first? Do we take our cares to God first? Or do we immediately seek man's counsel? So think about that. Who do we look to? Who are we looking to for salvation? Who are we looking to for answers? God wants to be the one that God wants to be the person that we come to first. The first person we come to. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God because He knows He's the only one that has everything that we need. The Bible says God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. It's all in Him. So there's no need to look anywhere else. And so if God is true and He's the one that has everything that we need, and if we look to something that's inferior to God, then we're actually not, because God loves us, He wants us to look to Him. It's very simple, but I know some people will call God a megalomaniac. They'll call Him like, that sounds like God wants people to just trust Him and worship Him. It's all about Him, Him, Him. But the truth is that if God is who He says He is, and He loves us so much that He sacrifices Himself for us, and He only wants our best, and He is the only God, everything else is a lie and false, and well, then it just goes to say, without saying that when God says, look to Me, I'm the only one that can save, that's the truth. What's the most important thing that we can trust God with? It's the salvation of our own souls. That's what we need to trust God. That's the first, the most important thing to trust God about. But it takes a measure of humility to do that, to submit ourselves to God, to submit ourselves because we're rebellious. And the first thing that needs to happen is a humbling of ourselves, to be able to submit ourselves to God. Psalms 116, verse 12, David says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. David didn't have anything to offer God for his salvation. He was receiving the benefits of God towards himself. And then he says, what should I give God for all of these benefits? And his answer is not to give God anything, but just to take more from God. You know, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. God isn't, he has like a storehouse, right? And God isn't impoverished when we take the cup of salvation, when we call on him and he can keep giving, right? That's what love is about, right? Love is about giving. It's not about taking. And God delights to give his children good things. In Romans chapter 10, verse 3, Paul says, speaking of the Jews who rejected Jesus, rejected their Messiah, he says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, the gospel, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There's a submission. We're the real submitters. We have submitted ourselves to the righteousness of God. Psalm 52, verse 7. Psalms have a lot to say about trusting in the Lord. And we're not going to go nearly over all those verses, but there's a few that I'd like to go over here. It says, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. This is on the negative side. But trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. People trust in the abundance of their riches. That's why not many mighty people come to God. Not many rich come to God because they trust in those things instead of God himself. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, Jesus spoke about those that trust in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Once again, they're trusting in their own goodness. They're trusting in their own righteousness. The salvation that we've obtained from God is of God. It starts with him. He took the first step towards us. He took the initiative, the first thing he did. Man hid, God sought, right? In the garden, man hid. Man sinned, man hid, God sought. And same thing with us. God is in his mercy sought us out. And he provided a way that we can be reconciled back to him. All we need to do is take that cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Submit ourselves to him. Humble ourselves and submit. So when do we begin to transfer our trust? Like this people were trusting in the abundance of their riches. They're strengthening themselves in their wickedness. They didn't make God their strength. So there's a danger that we can do that also. That we can transfer our trust from God to other things, to people. I thought of some ways that we can do that. We shouldn't do that, but we are able to do that. When we get money in the bank, and when we feel financially secure, then we can tend, there's a temptation to take our eyes off God and to trust in the money that we have in the bank, in our financial security. We can also trust when we have healthy bodies and we have strength and we feel like we can get a lot done. Like, I'm a doer, you know, that we can tend to. I mean, it's a temptation. Like, I can do this, you know. We have ability. We can trust when we have ability. And we can just go do things. There's a story in the book of Judges about a man who had a lot of strength. Can anybody think of who I'm talking about? A guy had long hair. Samson. He had strength. And when he was lying on that prostitute's lap, and she was shaving his head off, his hair off his head, the secret of his strength. And then he awoke. He said, it goes like this. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he didn't know that the Lord was departed from him. He's trusting in just the ability he had before. It's just going to be the same thing, like assuming and presuming upon God. Trusting in his own strength, but didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. We can also trust when people speak well of us, trust in our reputation, and forget God. Well, people think well of us. Well, maybe we might not be so concerned about what God thinks about us. That may cause us also, you know, to experiment with sin. You know, as long as people think I'm, you know, what are they thinking about me as, you know, God forbid. We can think we're doing well spiritually. Just like Samson. Like, well, I mean, God's used me before, you know. Like, this is just the way it is. God uses me. Just God uses me. But he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. When we have experience, we can trust that we've done this before. That's a big one. I'm preaching to myself here. When we have experience, I've done this before. As at other times, right? God has used me before in this same exact way. And we dare not, but we can trust in our experience. Instead of actually saying, God, you know, I've done this before, but Lord, help. I want to do it your way. I want your strength. I want you to be glorified. Just making sure that God is in all of our thoughts, that he gets all the glory, that we're dependent on him. So that takes a life of walking with God in prayer and humility and submission to him. Some people that thought that they had wisdom, you know, when we think we're smart, maybe also can be a temptation to think that, you know, when we have wisdom and people even ask us for wisdom, well, then maybe we tend to not ask God for wisdom. That people come to us, you know, we have wisdom. But God says, if any of you lack wisdom, you know, it says we don't know as we ought to know. Do we think we have all wisdom? So we should constantly be asking God for wisdom. When Nehemiah was before the king and he was giving him the cup, the king said to him, "Why are you looking sad? This is nothing other than sadness of heart," you know. And Nehemiah prayed. That's a good thing. When we're faced with a situation, we should be in constant prayer. Like, okay, God, help me here. What should I answer him? You know, we shouldn't be just depending on our wisdom, like our knowledge, but on the Lord. It makes me think of that story when the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 9, verse 14, that the Gibeonites, they kind of tricked the Israelites. They took old garments and they took moldy bread and they were from a far country. Look at our clothes. It's all, they're all old and our shoes are worn out and our bread is all moldy and we're not really neighbors to you, right? So make a peace treaty with us, because God had said, don't make a peace treaty with anybody close. Destroy them all. And so here they come. And the people looked at their clothes. They looked at their shoes. They looked at the bread. And everything looked good. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That was their mistake. So couldn't God reveal something like, to them about this? Of course you could, but they didn't ask. And Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Or it says in James, excuse me. So I think the Lord delights for us to ask him, to be dependent on him, not just to think that we've done this before, we have experience, we have wisdom, you know, I don't need to ask God. No, we don't really say that, right? We don't really, that's not like, wait, we don't say that out loud. We probably don't even think that, but let's get back to the truth here, that these things need to be in our mind. We need to be aware of these things, that we can have a tendency to trust in ourselves, to trust in other people, trust in our wealth, or lots of different things I just mentioned. Another example is when David fled from Absalom, there were two counselors there, Ahithophel and Hushai, and the thing about that is they were both men. These counselors were both men. Absalom didn't ask counsel from God, obviously, because, you know, he was in rebellion. You know, he's not going to ask God for wisdom, right, if he's in rebellion. What's God going to tell him? God's probably going to send a prophet and say, you need to honor your father, young man, you know. But here he was trying to kill his dad, you know. And so, of course, God is going to not answer him. But in everything, he didn't ask God for counsel. Well, I think of like Rehoboam. Here he is. His father, you know, gave him the kingdom. And then he's asking counsel from men. Well, there's nothing wrong with asking counsel from men. But did he ask counsel from God? Don't you think God would have given him the better answer? That he wouldn't have to choose between these two bad answers, but God would have given him counsel. But he was young and proud. And so he got went with the young men's proud answer, really. And it got him into trouble. Here in Isaiah 30, chapter 30, verse 1, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." So we need to depend on the Lord and seek his counsel. The psalmist has some good counsel for us. Psalm 37, verse 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." God is able to do everything. He's able to make his counsel and make his will to be done. Psalm 118, 8 and 9. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." I want to ask why. Why is it better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man? And I think we've all been disappointed by men, right? Because man and men fail us. And sometimes they don't mean to. They can't do it. They don't have all power. They're not strong enough. But God, his arm isn't too short that it cannot save. And he is faithful. He is mighty. He's the one that holds us in the palm of his hand. His counsel will stand. Numbers chapter 27, verse 15. I'm going to read down through 23. You can turn there if you want. "And Moses spake unto the Lord." See, God had told Moses that you are going to die. And so Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." Isn't that something? Moses was a shepherd. And Moses didn't, God said to him, "You're going to die." And so Moses was telling God, "These people need somebody to lead them." "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." Wow. Do you see like Moses as a shepherd? He was a shepherd. God, you know, his job in the desert there for that 40 years was a shepherd. So he knew a lot about that. And in Deuteronomy 18, 18, God said, "The Lord will raise up a prophet from among your brethren like unto me." And Moses was a shepherd. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun." See, God heard his request, didn't he? Look at that. And Moses' heart was the same as God's heart. God doesn't want us to be without a shepherd. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay hand upon him, lay your hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and laid his hands upon him, and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And I want us to notice here that a couple things. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. This is interesting because some people would say, the Jews especially, would say that Joshua was the one in Deuteronomy 18. Joshua was that fulfillment of here. But see, here God says to him, just put some of your honor on him, not all of it. Like, so he wasn't exactly like him in that way. But also notice that he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, verse 21, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. So here, even though Joshua is their leader, is being set up to be the leader of these people, who is he getting his direction from? From God. Through the priest, using the Urim. And I don't know all the details of how that all worked. But somehow, they were asking God through the priest, and then, obviously, the priest, or through this Urim, they would hear an answer from God, and then Joshua would obviously do and lead the people. And so this just made me think about us as fathers, those here who are fathers, that we've been given a charge, and we're to lead our little flock. But how are we to lead them? In our own wisdom and the way we want to do things? Or are we supposed to hear from God and then lead our families? So that was a blessing. Just meditating on that a little bit. That even though we have been given a charge for our families, we're not to just lead our families by our own ideas. But we're supposed to hear from God. And so that means that we need to be walking with God to be able to hear from God. In Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 15, Jeremiah is speaking to this false prophet, Hananiah, and he says, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie." So we have to be aware that there's people all the time saying that they have the counsel of the Lord. This is God's counsel. This is God's way. This is God's wisdom. But there are false prophets. Jesus warned us about them, and he told us how to beware of them. By their fruits you shall know them. And I believe that if we love the truth, we will not be led away with the error of the wicked. God is going to preserve those that love him and love the truth. So I'm going to end with this verse. It's a familiar one, but it's one we should meditate on. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God bless you all.